Consider this with us next on Sound Doctrine.
What is the word, what is the sentence that would sum up your ministry? If Paul was writing about you, what would he say about you? What's the one word? What is the one sentence? And I think it's something to ponder on, to think about. You know, we want to be remembered well. You know, and we have this opportunity to make a mark for the Lord, big time. He gets the glory for the things that he wants to do in us and through us in a big way.
Your spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lies, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
It's time for Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff Johnson, and today we'll be wrapping up our lengthy study in Romans. As the Apostle Paul put the finishing touches on his epistle, he made mention of some faithful friends with him in the trenches. Not much is said of them, just a simple but powerful word or sentence. As Jeff mentioned at the top of the broadcast, we'll personalize all of this and ask, how would our life and ministry be summed up in a word or two? Dedicated mother? Faithful servant, perhaps?
Gaius and Erastus were probably wealthy individuals because of the position that they were in during the day. Kind of interesting, but Jesus said this about those that are rich. He said, it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. He said that. Why is that? Because riches stumble people, money. If you got money, you pretty much can get whatever you want, except your health. You can buy whatever, do whatever. It's hard for a rich man to enter in. But he didn't say it's impossible. So there's hope. For those that have money, who get saved, just to give it all to him and just say, Lord, give me wisdom what to do with my money now. I didn't have wisdom before. Now I have it. This is going to be to your glory. And I've seen God use rich people for his glory. And their lives were transformed. So we see these two guys. And then it goes down to Quartus. Quartus, his name is number four. So we have Tertullus, number three. We have Quartus, number four. You see, these guys were slaves. That's their names. They were only given a number for a name. They weren't worthy of a name that meant anything but a number. But Paul didn't think that. He wanted to not only share who they were, but he wanted to give a word about each one of these guys in a very, you know, unique way. And so he says, my faithful brothers, man, guys that were with me in the trenches. So each guy, each situation that he mentions these people in, they're given a name, they're given a sentence, or maybe it's just a word to sum up their ministry. And I thought, what is the word, what is the sentence that would sum up your ministry? If Paul was writing about you, what would he say about you? What's the one word? What is the one sentence? And I think it's something to ponder on, to think about. You know, we want to be remembered well. You know? And we have this opportunity to make a mark for the Lord, big time. He gets the glory for the things that he wants to do in us and through us in a big way. So I love that. Well, he was a faithful worker, faithful husband. She was a trusted friend, a dedicated mother. Wow, good stuff. Verse 24 now, going back to our text. He says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Is it the end? Not yet. There's more to come. This is his typical end, though, and it's interesting that he talks about God's grace here. He's closing out God's unmerited favor, you know, to y'all. and I want you to all have it and experience it. Amen means so be it. Pretty much, no, more to come. Verse 25. And this is where I believe that, don't get mad at me when I add scriptures at the end. I know, you know, sometimes I keep going at the end and say, and furthermore, and now I'm going to end with this, and then I keep going, and you're going, what is he doing? Sometimes it's the Spirit that keeps adding a little bit more to the message. Why? Because that's the part that you need personally, individually. I don't know. But I'm just trying to, you know, end as best as I can in the Spirit. And if that's a word that God really speaks to you about, then it was needed, right? And so here, Paul at the very end says, well, there's more I got to share now. I want to tell you something here. So he says, now to him, to God, verse 25, that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, the unveiling of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. Here is where many believe that Paul took the pen out of the secretary's hand and he began to put it in his own words, the closing thoughts, as far as with his own hand writing. He began to put it down, this last little section. Now, I understand, I used to collect football cards when I was a kid. I had football cards. I was an avid collector. Some of you guys know what I'm talking about. You had them too, and you got desperate for money, and you moved them for cheap. And now you look back, and you go to the baseball card place or the football card place, you go, what did I do that for? That's crazy. And then if some of you maybe even got some of them signed, do you know how much they're worth signed by the player? Hello? Big bucks, okay? And you know, but here's Paul now. He's signing every single one of these epistles, his personal signature, his final doxology, so to speak, as this final praise to God, this thanks to the Lord of who he is. Over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, right at the very end, he says, verse 16, now the Lord of peace himself give you peace, his shalom. Always, by all means, the Lord be with you all. And then it says, the salutation of Paul with my own hand, which is the token in every epistle, so I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. He signs it off. And he did this with every one of his epistles. Very special. Notice his desire here in verse 25 was to see them rooted and grounded in the things of the Lord. In fact, over in Romans chapter 1, verse 11, you go back there and you see that he already said this in his very opening statement. He says in chapter 1 of Romans, verse 11, for I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that you be established. Now he's talking about being established. He wants them to be in the truth. He wants them to be grounded in that truth. And so he writes this to encourage them to stay steady. Remember over in Romans chapter 14, verse 4. He says at the very end of that verse, yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. He's encouraging them, saying, God will pick you up. God will hold you up. God will establish you. God is powerful. It's the same way with the pastor's conference in Miletus when Paul gathered the brethren there in Acts chapter 20. When he gathered them, he left them with these words. Listen to this encouragement. He said, and now, this is in Acts 20, 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are set aside. So I'm giving you to God's word. I know the wolves are going to come in. I know liars are going to come in. False apostles are going to come in. But I'm going to give you to God's word because I know it built me up. It will build you up. That we would be established. God's word is vital in establishing us in his kingdom now and forever. You don't just become a Christian just to have a little, you know, weekend experience and goosebumps or something. Wow, I felt that. Did you feel that? You know, Or, you know, no, it's a life experience. You receive Christ and then you start to grow in Christ. You start to get established in the things of God. And God starts to use you. God didn't save you just to go to heaven. He saved us to be used here on earth. To get more heavenly minded is to be more earthly good, guys. We're finding that out. You're going to affect your loved ones powerfully as you continue to dig into God's word. Write down 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 2 Timothy 3, 16. Listen to what Paul says to young Timothy. All scripture, that's all scripture, our Bibles, is given by inspiration of God. It's God breathed. He breathed this into existence. God created the heavens and the earth. He created his word to be ours. Men didn't write this book. He breathed into men, they wrote down what he breathed on them. He had total control of the word of God. There is no discrepancies. There is no, you know, mistakes. This is God's word. It's the bestseller. You know, a lot of people are avid readers. You ask them, well, have you ever read the Bible? No way. The bestseller? You wouldn't read the bestseller? No, I read something about some kind of, you know, witch. You know, and what was the one, the real thick books about the boy? Harry Potter. I read the Harry Potter series. Okay. What did you get out of it? I don't know. It was weird, man. Bunch of witches and sorcery and whatever. And yet, you never read the Bible? The bestseller? Written by God to you individually, personally? It's God's love letter to you. He loves you. He just wants you to know. So all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Notice that the man of God or the woman of God may be perfect or mature, that we might grow up in the things of God, be mature, be established, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, that we would begin to do those things that God has called us to do. Notice back in our text there in verse 25, he says, according to my gospel. Interesting statement, my gospel. He's not talking about a different gospel. He's not talking about another gospels, because there are other gospels floating around. And people will come up to your front door and they'll say, I've got good news for you. And you need to ask them, what good news you got? Because I know the good news. What is your good news? And all of a sudden you find out where they're coming from. There's some kind of cult or something, you know, and they're pushing their stuff. But there is my gospel, he says. In other words, I have taken it to myself. It's affected my life. He owns it. It's a part of him. It's almost like Mary in John 20 when she cried out and said, they've taken away my Lord. That's my Lord. They've taken him. She was shook up. It's my Lord. My gospel. Thomas, the doubter, when he stopped doubting, what did he say? Oh, my Lord and my God. And he, all of a sudden, it became very personal to him. Very real. And that's what Paul's talking about here. This gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Romans 1:16. It's the power of God unto salvation. Only if you will believe it and receive it personally will this mystery be revealed to you. What is the mystery? Well, the mystery simply is this, that Jew and Gentile have been brought low to be brought together. They've been humbled. Think about the greatest thing that God can do to leave with people to blow their minds, that Jews and Gentiles would come together as one in Christ. That's a mind blower. That's like getting Muslims and Jehovah's Witnesses together and putting them together and they get right with God. I mean, it's a miracle. And God's doing miracles. And he brought Jews and Gentiles together. That's the mystery he's talking about here. But we need to believe and receive. You know, when a car show happens, they cover the car, and everybody's wanting to see underneath the cover, the veil, and yet the designer knows what's under there. See, God knows what he's going to do before he does it. I mean, he knows everything. But then all of a sudden, they come out, and they take the veil off the car, and they're like, oh, my gosh. Now, all know. Well, this is exactly what God has done with Jew and Gentile. Everybody knows now that God did some incredible things, and this was the most incredible. But then that he saved a wretch like me is even more incredible. And then when you think about the personal testimonies we have here this morning, God is awesome. So Paul's confidence is great in verse 25. I see it here. He's just so confident in his God. I mean, everything's going to be all right, he's saying. It's going to be all right. You guys, don't panic. It's going to be all right for your kids. It's going to be all right for your grandkids. What do you mean? Well, it's going to be all right for your situation, for your circumstance that you're going through right now. What do you mean it's going to be all right? Well, that God is in control. He says, I'm resting in his power to establish his work by his Spirit, to reveal that this is something that God talked about in the very beginning of time. This is, give me that old time religion stuff. It's good enough for mom and dad and grandpa and grandpa. It's good enough for me. This is the old stuff that will be steady continually. Why? Because God said it. I believe it. And that settles it. Verse 26 now, we're almost there. But now is made manifest. All of this is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Everything has been revealed. The secret is out. It's through his word to those who believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. This is out of Romans 10:9. And if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord, you're going to be saved. Whosoever would call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered, shall be freed. All you have to do is call on the name of the Lord and believe in your heart. It's very simple. You'll become no longer a child. Right now you're a child of wrath, you're a child of disobedience, but all of a sudden, because you have received Christ, you are now a child of God. To as many as received him, he gives you the power to become a child of God. Don't you want to be a child of God? Do you want to be the other guy's child? Gosh, he had me for 20 years, and he used this body in a very wicked way. I hurt a lot of people, and yet he somehow changes a man or a woman when they receive Christ. And he makes you a new creation. You're a new man, new woman in Christ. You're a child of God. And it's powerful what comes on you. You're now a representative of God, living by the power of God, by his Spirit, doing the work in you so we can do that incredible work through you to be a witness in these crazy days that we're living in. We're called the church, the bride of Christ. We're called the new race, called Christians. But notice this. Paul writing to Colossae, and let me just read it to you. Colossians 1, verse 25. He says, if you continue in faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof, Paul, I am made a minister. He says, wherefore, I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which he hath hid from the ages, from the generations, and now is made manifest to the saints. Now, this is the verse I really want to have you to understand. To whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Oh, all of a sudden you realize this is not a program. We don't join some kind of program here. This is not a kind of a works trip where we work our way to heaven. This is something that happens as soon as Christ comes within you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It begins when Christ comes in, period. That's when the miracle takes place. That's when you become born again. And it is a miracle. So he had confidence in this gospel. He that started the work is going to finish it until the day of Jesus Christ. You know what the definition of hope is? It's right here. The absolute expectation of coming good. The absolute expectation of coming good. It's not that, you know, we hope. We know our kids are going to be all right. We know our grandkids are going to make it. We know the situation is going to be dealt with. The circumstance, this too will pass. Why? Because we know our God. Nothing is impossible to him. All things are possible through him who died for us. I mean, come on. So we have that total, absolute expectation of coming good. I love it. He gives us that. And we can trust him with our kids. We can trust him with their sin that they're in, what they're going through right now. Trust him. He's a good father. Yes, you did your best, okay? But let's give him to the Lord. Let's let the Lord work with them. Let's believe in a God who knows everything that they're doing. Right now, he knows what they're doing. And he, by his Spirit, can nail them right now as you continue to pray and intercede for them. Sometimes it takes time, but that's all right. God's time is perfect. Sometimes they need to go through stuff. And as they go through the stuff, that's when they wake up. Sometimes we got to let it go. So it's nothing to do with what we're doing. I mean, if you're in a program or, you know, and you didn't follow up and you didn't make the program, you didn't do it right, and it has nothing to do with our faithfulness. We're not faithful. None of us are faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. Christ in me, the hope of glory. I mean, that's it in a nutshell. That's what we hold on to. He makes dead men alive. And he's going to carry us through. I love what he said in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, as Jesus opened up that scroll there in Bethlehem. Or excuse me, in Nazareth. Nazareth, he opened up the scroll in the synagogue. And he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, to the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised." That's what he sent Jesus to do. And then now he's saying to us this morning, now I send you, go and do the same thing. Christ in us, the hope of glory. You mean I can pray for people and they'll get saved, and I can pray for people and they'll get healed and things like that? Yeah, but it's Christ in us. We need to be encouraged. Remember, the Spirit of the Lord came down upon Jesus. He was seen of angels, it says. He was preached to the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and now he's in heaven. Jesus overcame our enemy. You know what our enemy is? Two things, major things, sin and death. He overcame them both, big time. And the same power that lives in me conquered the grave. Same love that lives in me rescued this world and continues to rescue. He walks with me and he talks with me. It's my gospel, my hope. So many are without hope today. If you are without hope, you're without God in this world, because God is all about hope. I mean, awesome. Everything, for every situation.
On that glorious note of hope, we'll draw today's Sound Doctrine and our study of Romans to a close. Pastor Jeff Johnson's final message in the epistle is called Paul's Final Encouragement. Now let me pass along to you our toll-free number, which you can use to order resources from us, well, like today's message on CD. It's 800-353-7553. And by the way, the suggested donation is $5. Again, get a hold of us at 800-353-7553. Or access this message online at sounddoctrineradio.org. Now, you can take Sound Doctrine with you wherever you go, and you can do so through the Sound Doctrine podcast, which is available on Stitcher, Spotify, Google, and Apple Podcasts. How's your devotional life with the Lord going? Could it use a kickstart here at the beginning of a new year? Well, allow me to recommend Daily Devotions with Calvary Chapel Pastors. This collection of daily devos will edify you as you read God's inspired Word. You'll hear people of God pour out their hearts, sharing personal experiences of God's faithfulness. Now, the authors include Chuck Smith, Skip Heitzig, Jeff Johnson, Greg Laurie, Raul Reese, Mike McIntosh, Don McClure, Joe Foch, and many, many more. We'll send it your way for a suggested donation of $25. Simply give us a call at 800-353-7553. Or you can order it online through our e-store at sounddoctrineradio.org. Well, thanks again for joining us for Sound Doctrine. Come back next time when Pastor Jeff will introduce our new series in Genesis. This program is listener-supported and brought to you by Calvary Chapel Downey. So, Father,